Good morning, church.
Buenos días, iglesia. So, what's your thought? Would it have been easier to be a person of God in the Old Testament? You had miracles and signs. You had food that came from the sky, a pillar of fire by night, a cloud of smoke by day. When prophets can tell you the future, would it have been easier to live in the Old Testament than today when it's so secular, can't see miracles anymore, no bread from heaven, no clouds to guide us and direct us? We had that discussion last Wednesday night as to whether or not it would have been easier to be a person of God in the Old Testament than today in the New Testament. My opinion is it's the same difficulty. I think that we as humans normalize everything. I think that we think of the Old Testament people as having advantages, but to them it was all normal. Miracles were normal to them, and so therefore they, as we saw in the Bible, somehow, some way, resisted God despite miracles. These same Israelites who had food from heaven, who had clouds that guided and directed them, still rebelled against God, still went against and really adulterized themselves with other gods. And so I think we all have an equal measure of difficulty and an equal measure of grace for every generation at every time period, no matter where we are. That's my opinion. But I also will give you these thoughts today about a ministry of life versus a ministry of death. I want to give you an equation that the Bible brings out for us. If you compare Exodus 34 and 2 Corinthians 3, it's a built-in sermon. It's almost, for people who want to make a sermon, let me give you a tip. Look at Exodus 34 and 2 Corinthians 3. Paul almost writes a sermon out for us himself. It's a very simple equation where he compares how the old way was to the new way. So let's look at this difficulty of the Old Testament compared to the New Testament. We see that in Exodus 34, we were given a description of how things were. In Exodus 34, verse 1, the law was written on stone. Okay? It was written on stone. Cold, hard stone. Exodus 34, verse 1, now the Lord said to Moses, cut out for yourselves two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets, which you shattered. And so also, we have to remember an older story of when Moses came down from the mountain after receiving the word of God and was angry. And as a result, he shattered the original stones. And so with the description of stone here, we must keep in mind the anger associated with it. The old way was a way of hard stone and anger and wrath. But he continues on describing how it used to be. Exodus 34, verses 5 through 8. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 8, describing more of this old way. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. It wasn't a cloud, a nice little cloud, a little cute cloud either. It would have been a dark cloud that obscured things. You were afraid to see this cloud. It was a cloud of God, a cloud of his glory, a cloud of his wrath. Verse 6, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Slow to anger, but he did get angry. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, but check this out, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Look at this, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. That's the old way. I don't want to be in that world anymore, but that's how it was. A sin can be passed along as a curse. And so verse 8, Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship, because Moses was scared. So he made haste. You see, the dark cloud of wrath, the blessings but with a curse as well linked to it, and a haste to bow down to God out of fear was the old way. More about the old way in the same chapter, verses 27 and 28. Really a built-in sermon, people. It's really easy. 27 and 28. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words. For in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. In those days, only special people got close to God. Moses, I'm sure, was very nervous about his job, but he was worthy to do so. So Moses, only he was allowed to come closer to get the information. The old way was in some ways a built-in holier-than-thou situation. Moses is holier-than-thou. That's why he himself can get the law. He will bring it to you, but nobody else dared to come close. Let's read more. The fourth point about the old way we can find in verses 29 through 35 of this chapter. 29 through 35. It came about that when Moses was coming down out from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterward, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to them on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel of what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses so that the skin of Moses' face shone. So Moses would replace the veil over his face until he went in to speak with him. There was never a way to get too close to God in those days. You had to have somebody do it. And that person who did it, you were afraid of that person because of the effect of the situation. There's a veil that divided the two sides. They could not deal with God's glory. They couldn't deal with God's glory upon Moses. There had to be a division in those old days. You couldn't get too close. Nobody was holy enough. They needed that veil. So we ask ourselves, do we prefer the old way to the new way? Well, consider that way in your equation. I as I said last Wednesday night, I like my 2018 California Christianity quite a bit compared to the old difficult days. I know we had difficulties today. I wish you had miracles. I know the secularism is pretty irritating. The science against God is quite irritating, yet I prefer what we have today. But that old way wasn't bad. It wasn't evil. People were saved. There were people of God in those days. It's just old. It's immature. It's not adequate enough. It's not good enough anymore. And people who want to stay in that fashion, in that old way, will be exercising and expressing an immature, old-fashioned, rather out-of-date way of being a person of God. There are Christians who are stuck in this old way. You can call it stone legalistic, if you will. They preach with fear attached to it. I was told a few times, you don't preach out with enough fear. You don't scare people enough. Okay? I like it that way. There's no holier-than-thou fellowship. But there are people who still want to express a holier-than-thou kind of way of life. Maybe one day you will be as knowledgeable or as holy or righteous as I am. The kind of God that's far away and scary that we don't really want to approach and talk to and pray and confess to because he's so far away. But I pray that we as a church can know the new way. The new way through Jesus, because there definitely is a brand new way through Christ. And the new way, once again, is not against the old way. We have to read the Old Testament and recognize in some ways it is our spiritual history. It is our spiritual past. It is, in some senses, our spiritual immaturity. We have a new and more mature way of doing things. And that way was initiated by Christ dying for our sins and rising again. Because in the Old Testament, there was no Christ who did that. Christ was around. He was there. But he had not yet died on the cross and rose again for our sins. And doing so much more, giving new law, as Moses did. He can do so much for our lives if we do things in the new way. And so when you compare this passage to 2 Corinthians 3, really, again, a built-in sermon, Paul literally takes the time and shows a new way against the old way. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, this is a new way against the stone cold legalism of the old ways. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, let's read it together as Paul shows how we have grown. He says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need as some letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, Paul directly countering the old way, but on tablets of human hearts. He's expressing that this way of showing the law of God is our lives. It is true. I thought it was a cheesy expression in the old days that for some people, you are the only Bible they know. That's what that verse here is saying, that we have to live that Bible. The Bible has become so real to us that it is written on our lives. I pray people can look at our lives and understand the verses of the Bible. Can we be living the verses of the Bible? Our lives are those verses. And so when we show the verses, we show it is not impossible. It's not idealism. No, this is what you do. And so Paul is saying, we are people who are living that law. You are people who are living that law. This is how we should be. That the law is not on stones far away anymore. That old way of stone legalism is just not good enough. But through Christ, this law must be written on the hearts. If we're not following Christ from our heart, it is immaturity. It's fake Christianity. It may look like it, but it's not real. If we are not sharing Christ from our hearts, it's immaturity. Before we make them read the Bible, we have to be the Bible. We got to show what it means. It must be real if they're going to follow it. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. Once again, Paul will counter this old way of doing things. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. Remember, back in the old day, they were all scared. It was fear-based. Fear was tantamount, was a huge part of your bond with God. But it says, such confidence we have through Christ Jesus, Christ towards God. We have confidence suddenly. There was no confidence in the old days. But now we have confidence. Not that we are adequate in ourselves. This confidence is not in somehow we're better people. No. To consider anything as coming from ourselves. But our adequacy is from God now, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Make no mistake, it is brand new what we have today. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It was so in the old days. We didn't quite read that verse today. If you approached that mountain too close, you died. There was so much death involved with your worship in those days. As I said last Wednesday night, understand, yeah, the Old Testament had some great miracles, but they also have what I call like negative miracles. You can die in a flash in those days. Miraculous deaths as well that we don't have today. And in the same way, that letter, that law killed very quickly. Directly linked to that religion in the old days was death. But today, the priority is not death. That priority is life. That is why I preach today not more about hell. I preach about heaven. I don't preach about how horrible hell is. More I talk about how amazing heaven is. Our priority, because don't get me wrong, people still die today Oh, yes, indeed, people are still going to hell. However, the priority these days is not a fear-based doctrine. It is now a love-based doctrine, a heart-based doctrine, a saving-based doctrine. Because now we have an adequacy that we did not have before. But some people are still stuck in that. They're still stuck in a fear-preaching mentality. But now we have confidence. Only through Christ we have confidence. The old way was follow that tablet or die. And death was a motivation. Definitely was a motivation. But now, I am re-realizing this week again, this past week, that the way to avoid many sins is to love God more. When Christ said, some brought it up today, when Christ said the most important law is to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, I understand more and more why that is, because I love God. We have to love God so much that any other action apart from God isn't worth it, isn't good enough. That keeps us from sin. Sin, the temptation of sin is highly reduced if you love what is right more than sin. That's why the more you love God, the easier it is to stay righteous with the Lord. So the old way, however, before Christ showed us that new way of love, death was a motivation. I'm afraid to die. That's why I follow what is right. But the temptations were so strong. I say today, this new law says, if you love the Lord enough, you don't want to sin. The new way says, get the Spirit. Have the Spirit in your heart and you will live. Did you know? And it's very true. You can have the old law. You can follow the old law. You can have it, memorize it, and still go to hell because you don't have the Spirit inside of you. If you have the Spirit inside of you, that's what matters. And that's a brand new idea, because in the Old Testament, only a few people got the Spirit. Prophets, kings, priests. Only a few folks did. But now, every single person is a priest. Every single person has the same access to that Holy Spirit. So if you have the Spirit, you live. The law is no longer a contingency to having, to going to heaven. You can have that law. Without the Spirit, you will not live. So, and again, Paul will counter again, verses 7 through 11. Here we hear about the ministry of death. Paul will call that a ministry of death. Not to say it caused death, but death was the motivation. Death was the battery of that old way. 2 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 7. But if the ministry of death, so Paul directly calls it what it is. If the ministry of death and letters engraved on stones came with glory. He says, even that ministry of death was very powerful. It was full of glory. It was awesome. It saved people, but it was still an inadequate, immature ministry. If that was impressive, just imagine how impressive it will be to do a ministry of life. If it was so powerful that it came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, how would the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation, that ministry was you're going to hell, do it, you're going to hell. You know, let me tell you why you should do it, because you don't do it, you're condemned. It's still true today, but we have a higher priority to talk about. We can talk about better things now, the condemnation and death. If the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more of this ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. We got something better now. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Anything that is not good enough or not of God does not last. A very sad fact in many areas. But even in the Old Testament, it wasn't the right way to go. It wasn't the everlasting way to go. It faded. And Moses had that shiny face, but it wasn't always. That began to fade away as well. It was a fading away idea, a fading away ministry. I am more and more interested in investing my time in things that last forever. And so, we have our ministry of life today. What Moses preached was do or die. But it was still glorious. But that new way we can and we do experience in church today. Therefore, I think there's no competition. I think what we had today, I know what we have today is better than the Old Testament, despite their miracles and manna falling from the heavens. We can experience a greater glory than Moses' shining face today. There's no holier than thou anymore. We are all holy. Finally, 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through 18, Paul will counter the last point. Again, a built-in sermon. I barely got to do anything but say it. 2 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. We're bold now. And are not like Moses, who used to put on a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. Their minds were hardened. They had a disadvantage. And the disadvantage was they didn't have Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2, I'll get back to it again. It says, through the Spirit, our minds are renewed. Again, in those days, they had to be feared into it. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. All of them. They didn't have what we have, the indwelling. So there had to be death, condemnation. Their minds were still hardened. That's why, despite all the miracles, they still rebelled against God. So yes, they needed something more that we don't need today. Their minds were hardened, verse 14, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. You see, that division is still there. For anybody who is not following Christ, that veil is still there. I was talking to Ann today. We're discussing how far can one understand the Word of God and not be taught? And there's a built-in ceiling that the Bible has. You cannot be a Christian unto yourself. It is absolutely impossible. You need other people. We need teachers, even in the very start of it. You can't be baptized by yourself. You're to be baptized. And so you can only go so far by yourself. Without the new covenant, there will always be this veil, this division, this ceiling that you cannot cross. And so he says, to this day, these people, that there's this veil lies over their hearts. But verse 16, but whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The ceiling is gone. You can go and excel in the Lord and have understanding. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, amen, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as for the Lord, the Spirit. So the process of us becoming more and more like the Lord, like Christ, it begins when this veil is taken away. And that veil was never taken away in the Old Testament. It had to be there. The old way. God is far away and scary, and so we have to have a veil. And some still view God like this. Some still view God as a far away God, not having a closeness with God that we all deserve to have. The new way, we don't need a dividing veil if we open our minds. And so we should stop locking our minds in the old way. Let's open up our minds to the new way through Jesus Christ, through love. Stop being holier than thou. Stop fear-mongering. Stop putting up veils. Romans 12:2, top five verses in the Bible. Romans 12:2, that through that Spirit, our minds are renewed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. This was not possible before Christ. And now it is. It's possible through Christ. So let's not go to the old ways of things. You see, church, if we stick in the old ways, we are preaching a ministry of death. An inadequate ministry. And coincidentally, churches that preach an old-style ministry of death end up dying. It doesn't work. Indeed, you may get a following of people built upon through fear and death and veils. It happens. They're called cults, but they're not churches of Christ. You cannot preach in an old-fashioned style and have a complete, mature church of Christ. What we preach is a ministry of life. And if not, we will die. We will die. And I believe that's one of the reasons why churches today are dying. They don't want to accept, they don't want to walk into that better way, that more mature way that Christ has given to us. It's difficult. It's scary. You can't control people that way. All you can do is express and live it and show it and mimic Christ. But I ask that we be different, that we do grow, and that we do survive, and make that choice to be a church that preaches a ministry of life. One final verse, Matthew 27, beginning of verse 45, and then we're done. Matthew 27, beginning of verse 45, more about this veil. A different veil, but the same veil in some senses, because the same act took care of both veils. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus Christ cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. That veil was the same veil we're talking about today, a different kind of veil, but it was a division, a holier-than-thou kind of veil. Only a priest can pass into the Holy of Holies. But when Christ died, when Christ gave up his spirit, that division was torn right there. Verse 52, the tombs were opened up, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now, the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God. And I pray that today that we follow the way of the Son of God. We talk as he talked. We act as he acted. We represent what he represented, and that we are people who have no more veils, but all with boldness and courage can access and refer to the Lord, showing the Bible with our lives. I pray all of us today are in that realm, that we're in that understanding as Christians. If not, we can repent this day, and the elders are here for that. But to those who are still behind the veil, those who are still locked behind a wall of understanding, those who are still locked behind the hardness of their own minds. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you repent from the old way of life, and if you are baptized, you will be saved. And if you thought life was somehow good in those days, if the old way of life may have been good, there's nothing compared to the full glory of a life of Christ. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.